Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this beautiful Palm Sunday. I tell you what, the weather has turned a little bit with a little bit of rain going on today, but I tell you what, it is still good and we still need the weather. And I just encourage you as you travel today, just make sure you are being safe as you go along. I guess a little bit in Northern Iowa, got a little bit of snow and whatnot, but that's how it goes. In Iowa, we can see changes coming with the weather. It can change in a heartbeat in within 24 hours. We've seen and experienced that. I'll never forget as we look forward to, as we head into May, I was just thinking it's not that many years ago that actually Pella had to cancel a big portion of their Tulip Time Parade because of snow and bad weather. And we'll hopefully this year that those folks up there in the big city of Pella have just a wonderful tulip time. But again, as you're traveling down the highway today, just make sure that you're safe. Watch out for different things that are going along the road with the highway. And also too, I'm sure there's some farmers going down the road trying to make some move some equipment and take advantage of the day. So just make sure you give them a big high five as you drive by, wave at them and thank them for what they do and give them some space. So what a wonderful day it is today. Also too, those of you who are on your way to church, what a great opportunity for Palm Sunday. Well, it's an exciting time for the church as we prepare, as we look at the beginning of Holy Week. It all starts with this today, the final 6 days of Christ, as we recognize and remember, and even more so, we reflect inwardly about what Jesus has done for our lives. And today we get an opportunity as the church to come together on Palm Sunday. We'll praise and hosanna to the King of Kings, and what a great time. So as you're traveling on the way to your church this morning, just be safe. What a great opportunity to go and praise and be with other brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great opportunity that is. Also to those of you that are home today, thanks for being with us today. It's encouraging to get the notes and also to the just the big shout out. Say, hey, listen to you this morning. It was really appreciated what was said. And you know, I don't take this for granted. I hope that you realize that today as well, as I always take opportunities when I'm getting ready to do the radio. I always pray the Holy Spirit help me with the inspiration to speak truth and give the good news of the gospel of what Jesus Christ has not only done in my life, but also too about what he does for other people, and that he still is mighty to save and wants to do well in your heart. So those of you who are listening this morning, again, thank you so much for being part of our Sunday morning Vital Ministries. And also too, a big shout out to KBOE as they allow us to continue to be on the air and partnering with us in that as well. Also too, we got some things that are coming up that you don't want to miss out on, which is going to be pretty cool. Right here on New Sharon on Good Friday, we're going to have a Good Friday service in our church at Lighthouse from 6:30 to 7:30. It's going to be a little bit unique, a little bit more different, a little bit more reflective. We're going to have special music, just some really good stuff. I listened to it. They were practicing this past week, and as they prepare for that, and it's just going to be a good opportunity. So we're going to have some time for reflection, just a real brief service. We're going to have some in-depth communion on that night as well. And also too, we're going to have an example of the cross and the crucifixion, far as a visual that will be there as well. So you don't want to miss that. That's Good Friday, which is March 29th from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Lighthouse Church. You don't want to miss that. Also too, we're having an Easter egg extravaganza that's going to be on March 30th. And that's going to be at the New Sharon High School from 9 to 11 o'clock. We're going to have bouncy houses, specialty Lotus drinks that were provided by the Coffee Closet in New Sharon. We're excited for them to partnering with us. We got Curtis down from Oskaloosa that's going to bring special music, which is going to have Christian music going on. Again, bouncy houses, thank you. Big shout out to Pella Rental for that, helping us out with that. And just a fun day. And also, too, an Easter egg hunt. Easter egg bunny's going to be there. Cookies, specialty, different things going on for the kids. It's going to be a memorizing, exciting morning, and you don't want to miss out. So bring your children. What greater thing to do as we prepare for Easter, to have a big Easter egg hunt? And it's going to be indoors. That's going to be even better because we don't know how the weather's going to be. So we just want to make sure that with those kids, we got them safe, we got them covered. And for better words of saying, we can keep them bunched up together and nobody loses anybody. So it's going to be just an exciting time. Again, that's on March 30th at the New Sharon High School in their gymnasium. from 9 to 11 o'clock. And then obviously we'll have our Easter service, which will be at 10 o'clock at the Lighthouse Church. Also, too, our next Warrior Breakfast. This is going to be our last one until we go to fall, and that's on April 6th. We go from 8 to 9 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss out on that. What a great opportunity as men come together. We're going to serve you a man's meal breakfast. And we always have meat on the menu. You've heard me say that multiple times. It's going to be our last one until fall, and just a great time. It's one of those opportunities that you can ask men who will not come to church, but would come to with you on a breakfast. And that is what I like about it most. It just gives those opportunities, so you don't want to miss out on that. With that being said, that's enough. We're going to jump in this morning as we're looking at what it means. We're doing a teaching series on the suffering servant. And that goes back clear into in the book of Isaiah, where it announced that Jesus was, in fact, the suffering servant, the Messiah, the King who came to die for our sins. And just a great opportunity as we get to look at the life of Christ, as, again, we look and we reflect at these next 6 days about what Jesus did, Holy Week, a time to reflect, a time to remember, and a time to thank the Lord for the price that was paid on the crucifixion of the cross, of what he did so that we might have salvation and have union, communion with the Father himself. But it's only through his Son, Jesus Christ, that that's done. And aren't we thankful that they sent the Holy Spirit? He moves and he's within our realm. He comes, he indwells with us. He does amazing things. But that is what this Holy Week is all about. And today is the opportunity in which we can look and we reflect. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus' triumphal entry. Last week I was in the book of John talking about the anointing of Jesus at Bethany, in which Mary did, which was Lazarus' sister, just anointed Jesus, gave a year's wages in order to anoint Jesus before his upcoming burial, and also to glorify him, for better words of saying, giving him roses before he was passed on. You know, oftentimes we give roses at a funeral, don't we? We'll have just a beautiful bouquet that will be a topper on top of a casket. And oftentimes we will take at the end, when we get ready to do the graveside committal, oftentimes the funeral director will take some of those roses off of that bouquet and give to the family. But what it was is an offering of roses to those that person who has passed. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of just giving them sharing about their life. And what happened when Jesus was anointed by Mary, those roses were given to him, which was in perfume, before he died. And oftentimes I think that would be so much better, that we gift roses before someone passes. We celebrate their life as opposed to celebrating life after they pass. We get an opportunity. I look forward to just this next week we get to do that. We got a gentleman in our church by the name of Bill, and he turns 90 years young. And Bill is what I would call just a pillar in our church. And Bill is a man that you can call. He'll be there at a beckoning call and to help. He loves God. He loves the church. He loves his family well. And we're going to give the gift of roses to Bill, which is going to be a birthday party for him, which will be on March 30th, and just gives that opportunity. But let's jump in this morning and look what it says in John chapter 12, the triumphal entry. John chapter 12, verse 12, it says this. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem was swept through the city. A large crowd at the Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise to God! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy. They said, "Don't be afraid, the people of Jerusalem, look, for your king is coming riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand that at the time that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy, but after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason that so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about the miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Nothing that we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Now, some interesting things that we see this morning that we're going to go on as we look at that triumphal entry about what Jesus did. But I think it's important to see why. What's the significance of it that this morning? We've heard multiple times of teaching and preaching on this very subject. But see, the triumphal entry is that of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on what we know, which we call today Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the crucifixion. The story of the triumphal entry is the one that has incidents of Jesus' life that we can see that appears in all four of the Gospels of the New Testament. We see that in Matthew chapter 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and what we have just read this morning out of John chapter 12. But see, if we put all four of these accounts together, it becomes clear that the entry, the triumphal entry, was a significant event, not only for Christ himself, but to the people of Jesus in that day, but to Christians, which is us, even throughout history. We celebrate Palm Sunday to remember the momentous occasion, don't we? We take time, we hold on to it. We remember that on that day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey's colt, one that had never been ridden before. The disciples spread their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to sit on, and the multitudes came out to welcome him, laying before him the cloaks and the branches and the palm trees. The people hailed, "Praise to him, King who comes in the name of the Lord," as he rode to the temple, where he taught the people, healed them, drove out money changers and merchants who had made his father's house a den of robbers. Now, some interesting things. I've actually been there. I've had two opportunities to go over to Israel. I've been in Jerusalem. I've been on the place of where Jesus has come down from the Mount of Olives, down in through the Kidron Valley, into the Eastern Gate, in which he would have been hailed. And we think of that being a big space, but actually it is not. But the Kidron Valley is huge. And I can only imagine when I was standing there and trying to reflect, trying to think, get a glimpse of what that might have looked like. The whole Kidron Valley would have been at the time, because there were thousands and thousands of Jewish people there for Passover to remember. And I was trying to envision in my mind, because at the time now, what we see is that is now the Kidron Valley has now become a cemetery. I find that interesting. They have taken and put tombs there, whitewashed tombs, and they've actually blocked up the Eastern Gate, thinking they're going to stop Jesus from making his return again someday. I find that so interesting and so funny. But I tried to get a glimpse of that moment. And when I was there, this is really a neat thing that I saw. The nations were there. And what I mean by that, when you go to Israel, the nations come to the Holy Land to see the place in which Jesus walked, the places of history that we see in the Old Testament, and also to the life of Christ in the New Testament. And the people are there, they're singing in their native tongue the different songs of whatever it might be, to Hosanna, to the King of Kings. And although I did not know the music, the language in which they sang, but I could recognize the tune of the song. And man, how special that was. And I think that someday when we get to heaven, we're going to have that opportunity to sing before the Lord and hail him as our King. Hosanna to the King, the one who was crucified and rose from the dead 3 days later. What an opportunity that is going to be for us someday in heaven. And we get a glimpse of that as we look and we reflect about what the Bible says, that he truly came. He truly came in, and the people praised him. See, the purpose of Jesus riding to Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be that he, in fact, was their Messiah, the King of Israel, in the fulfillment of the Old Testament, in which we read this morning, which comes out of Zechariah 9:9. In Zechariah 9:9, this prophecy was made about 450 to 500 years before this moment. It says this: Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, Jesus rides into this capital city as a conquering king, hailed to the people in such a manner of the day that the streets of Jerusalem, the royal city, are open to him. And like a king, he ascends to his palace, not as a temporal place, but the spiritual palace, that is the temple, because his is a spiritual kingdom, and he receives the worship and praise of the people because of the only that he deserves. No longer does he tell his disciples that we see throughout the Gospels, be quiet about him, but now he says to them, shout praises and worship him only. They spread their cloaks on the back of the donkey as an act of homage for the royalty, and Jesus openly declaring to the people that he was in fact the king and the Messiah for which they had been waiting for. And again, what a moment that must have been, not only for Jerusalem, for the city, but also too for all mankind. Of what Jesus has done. He has come, he is a king, he is coming, and the prophecies have been fulfilled. Everything from the Old Testament that has been spoken and declared is now being fulfilled. Man, what an exciting time, an exciting day that must have been. And even today, as we look for the second return of the Messiah, the second return in which Jesus comes from the clouds. It's the same thing. We need to be preparing. We need to be make ready. We need to be watchful as the days ahead, as I believe, folks, with all that's within me, that we are in fact in the final days in which before the second coming of Christ is. Every generation has said that before, but what we are seeing now is the fulfillment of prophecy, which has been done in the Bible itself, in the New Testament, and actually the words in which Jesus has spoken, saying that his return would be coming. Now, bear in mind, the Bible clearly states that even Jesus or the angels did not know the time or the place in which Jesus would return. Only the Father knows. But Jesus gave us examples to be watchful for and to make ready for the things that are going on. And we can see that happening. See, I want you to think with me for a second. The declining of the world has to be done because the prosperity has to be taken out in order to make a rise of the Antichrist, right? Now, in order for that to happen, what nation needs to decline or to implode? The United States. I believe this, folks. I believe that without a doubt, that yet, yes, I believe America has great days that's yet to happen. I believe a great revival is coming to our nation. But I believe with all that's within me, what we're seeing is prophetic, and the declining of our nation has to happen in order for the preparation of the return. Similar things are in alignment. Jerusalem was bankrupt spiritually. They were all caught up in the political and the money and all the things that were going on. They were spiritually bankrupt. They were all about religion and not about relationship, about God. And matter of fact, they literally turned their backs on God himself, which they did with Jesus. The same thing is happening within our nation. We see the moral decline. We see the idolatry. We see the ugliness of sin. We see our borders being overtaken openly, and the political system is not stopping it. And matter of fact, is also making laws in which those borders must stay open. Why? It's all because of the decline of what has to happen in order for the preparation for the Messiah for his return. Do I wish that all these things I have spoken about were changed? I do. I really do with all that's within me. I am thankful for those, not all the political system is bankrupt. thankful we have some good people that are still in office that want the good, the Constitution, making our nation a republic as opposed to a democracy, making it so that we have freedom within our religion, freedom within speech, all those things. I'm as patriot as anyone else, but my citizenship, folks, is not in America. My citizenship is in heaven as I wait for Jesus' return. And I want to keep my eyes focused, all eyes on him. And I encourage you to do the same thing. But let's jump back in this morning as we look to what Jesus is doing on that great day. See, unfortunately, the praise of the people that lavished on Jesus was not because they recognized him as their savior from sin. They welcomed him out of their desire for a messianic deliverer, someone who would lead them in a revolt against Rome. There were many who, though they did not believe that Jesus is the Savior, nevertheless hoped that perhaps he would be the one that would turn them into the great temporal deliverer. That he would be the one hailed him as king with many hosannas, recognizing him as the son of David who came in the name of the Lord. But when he failed in their expectations, when he refused to lead them in a massive revolt against Rome and its occupying, the crowds quickly turned their back on him. Within a few days, the hosannas would change to cries to crucify him. You know, I'm going to show you back to a moment this morning of Jesus and the time in which of the return. And in the book of Matthew, it talks about the triumphal entry. But here's something that I find that's interesting that hasn't been said before, but has been said multiple times before, but it's worth saying again. These are the Pharisees. It says, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that," which was hail to the king. Jesus, he replies this way. I love what he says. He says, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Man, I don't know about you. I have never seen a stone speak, but I tell you what, it's not impossible with God. And what Jesus was saying is if they did not shout hosannas to the kings, that the very rocks themselves would cry out and shout hosanna to him. Now, I think it's important for us to realize that all creation shouts for the return of the Messiah. Because the brokenness of the world in which we live. See, the story of this triumphal entry is one that contrasts, and contrasts contain applications to us even today. In this story, the king who came as a lowly servant, the suffering servant on a donkey, not a prancing white horse and wearing royal clothing, but on the wearing clothes of the poor and the humble. Jesus Christ comes not to conquer by force, as earthly kings did, but by love, grace, and mercy, and his own sacrifice for his people. He is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. I'm going to say that again. He conquers not nations, but hearts and the mind. That is what we need in America today. We need a conquering of hearts and minds to turn their eyes back on Jesus. When we do that, folks, we won't have the destruction of sin and what the propaganda and the media and Hollywood tries to tell us this is what it means to be a person or to be the lifestyle in which we live. We turn our eyes back on Jesus and we start caring for one another. See, what this is what I believe. The system today wants us to hate on each other. When we do that, we do stupid things and we kill each other. But that is not what Jesus said. He wants us to love on one another. And when we do that, that opens the hearts of people in order to find change and the commitment of sin. We would not be fighting these issues if hate wasn't such a way. We would not be fighting these depths of sin if people would learn to love on each other and care for what God wants in their hearts and be examples of him. See, if Jesus had made a triumphal entry into our hearts, he reigns there in peace and love. As his followers, we exhibit those qualities, and the word sees the king living and reigning in triumphant in us. See, folks, if we're going to change the world, we have to change ourselves first. And that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. This triumphal entry, not only that I believe that happened into Jerusalem, but can we have a triumphal entry into our own hearts today? Are you willing to open up your hearts to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life? I promise you this. If you allow Jesus to be your King, to be your Savior, to be your Messiah, and eventually the Lord over all things of your life, you will lead a life of peace and a life of commitment and humbly serving the Lord. And when you do that, there is no longer any misconception of your identity in something else or something that the world has tried to tell you who you are, that your identity becomes in Christ Himself. More of Him and less of us. And when we do that, I believe the anxiety, the depression, the stress, the things of life slowly fade away. That, folks, the triumphal entry that was and the triumphant entry that can be is simply asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this day, for the opportunity to come and to praise and sing hosannas to you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray today that maybe there's somebody out there that needs a triumphal entry into their own heart today. That they need to change, that they need to see things in a different way. They need to ask you to be their Savior. Lord, I pray today that they pray the prayer. They simply come and ask you, I have sinned, and ask forgiveness of your sin. You promise, Lord, that you toss those sins away as far as the east from the west and never remembered ever again. I pray today that somebody makes that commitment. They allow you to be the Savior of their life and that triumphal entry and allows the Holy Spirit to come in and to change their life. Lord, I pray that somebody prays that very prayer this morning. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for coming and dying for us. But today we sing Hosanna to you as we remember, we reflect on Palm Sunday. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. In your blessed holy name we pray. Amen. Folks, what another exciting time. You're not going to want to miss out next week as we look at Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, our King. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.